Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Hollywood Crime Scene mini episode. Desi, you're like giggling over there.
I'm just laughing because I was expecting some more cabinets to start slamming. I was waiting for pots and pans.
Yeah. You know, if it's not melon, it's something.
Yes.
And that's the wonder of home studio recording.
Yeah.
Look.
Sometimes funny things happen.
I agree. Remember that one night? Well, we're never going to top the night when my neighbors were blasting that incredible playlist.
Right. That was good.
That was a great night.
I'm actually shocked. I was like worried. I was like, is this a thing they do?
Like constantly? It's going to be a thing.
Yeah. I mean, not, I'm happy they're having fun, but obviously it creates some complications for us.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't even think, and you know what? I don't even think it got picked up here.
No, sometimes we hear it. And it's never sort of audible.
Right.
But
if you do hear weird background noises, such as my very large adult son, Melon, mind your business. We're doing the best we can. Let's talk about some news stories this week. There was a lot going on. Our first story is about Robert Durst.
Ooh.
Now, the trial has resumed.
Okay.
This is out of the Huffington Post. The headline reads, Robert Durst admits in court he wrote infamous cadaver note.
Oh, he admits it now.
Now he admits it.
Okay.
So if you're unfamiliar with Robert Durst, he's a multimillionaire who is technically, if you know, he's a serial killer, basically. Like, he's accused of, well... Okay, in this is the trial for Susan Berman, but
he's killed multiple people.
He's killed multiple people. He was tried for killing his landlord or neighbor.
I think it was like a neighbor.
Might have even been a roommate.
Yeah.
Look, it was someone he lived...
And that was like in Texas.
That was in Texas. He did kill that person and dismember them, but he got off on defense.
And then he also supposedly killed his first wife.
And then his first wife, Kathleen, right? Uh-huh. She went missing back in the
80s,
early 80s.
Yeah.
And she was never found. And people have suspected for a very long time that he murdered her. And we don't know where she is. So the trial that he's going through right now is the Susan Berman trial. Susan Berman, she was found murdered in her Beverly Hills home.
And she was a screenwriter.
She was a screenwriter. Her and Robert Durst were really close friends for years. She was like team Robert Durst. You know, she stuck by him through all the weird shit with his, like him being suspected of doing away with his wife. And he allegedly killed her. So if you haven't seen The Jinx on HBO, I think it's one of the best true crime documentaries.
It's very good.
It's very entertaining because Robert Durst himself is such a character.
And he's in it a lot.
And he's
like
in
he
it.
Participates.
Yeah.
In it. Yeah.
He does. So the cadaver note, I'm just going to read this article. It's by Brian Melly. It says New York real estate heir Robert Durst testified Monday that he lied for decades about sending police a note directing them to the dead body of his best friend because he feared it implicated him in the killing. In fact, it was so hard to fathom that Susan Berman's killer was not the same person who sent police a note directing them to her cadaver that even Durst sometimes questioned the plausibility of that explanation. Quote, I have difficulty believing it myself, he testified. He said that. He's testifying in his own defense, and he says, yeah, I have difficulty believing it myself. It's very difficult to believe, to accept that I wrote the letter and did not kill Susan Berman. He's like, look, I know it looks bad. That's what he said, essentially.
I just feel like that's his complete MO always. It's like almost this borderline truth-telling.
Yes.
It's weird.
And he's just sort of flown by the seat of his pants his whole life doing these bizarre things.
Yes.
Or evil things.
Yes.
So I mean, he is, he has been in jail.
Oh yeah.
He has been remanded to jail, I guess for, I don't know.
Close was it for the Texas killing?
No, I mean for the Susan Berman. He's been in jail for
awaiting trial
for like over a year now.
Well, and it probably, yeah, because of COVID, it probably got extended.
Yes.
Yeah.
Durst, 78, has denied killing Berman during 4 days of testimony at his murder trial. Durst, the eccentric estranged heir to a commercial real estate fortune in New York, is only charged with Berman's December 2000 killing, but prosecutors have introduced evidence linking him with two other deaths. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they like won't allow that because yes. It's prejudicial, but they're allowing evidence from the time he was tried for murder of his roommate or neighbor.
Yeah.
And the disappearance of his wife. Los Angeles prosecutors say Durst killed Berman to silence her before she could tell New York investigators how she provided an alibi for him when his first wife vanished in 1982. They also say he murdered a Galveston, Texas neighbor in 2001 when the man discovered his identity while he was hiding after New York police reopened the investigation into his wife's disappearance in 2000. Durst has denied killing Kathy Durst and has never been charged with a crime connected to her disappearance. Her body has never been found, but she has been legally declared dead. He was acquitted of murder in the killing of Morris Black in 2001 after testifying he shot the man in self-defense during a struggle for a gun. Durst, who is frail and suffering from a series of health problems, spoke in a soft, raspy voice as he took his chances trying to persuade jurors he did not kill Berman. The crazy thing about the murder of Morris Black that he got off in self-defense is he dismembered the body.
Right. But I mean, his version of that, it's because he was afraid of getting caught for murder. Like, he did it in self-defense, but he didn't want to get caught because of what had happened with his wife, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, everything seems connected to this original murder or disappearance of his wife.
Yes.
So everyone's like, he did this. He was escaping. He had to kill the neighbor so he didn't get caught. And he killed Susan Berman because she was going to turn him in.
Silslyn Berman.
That's right, bitch.
That's what you said.
She's sizzling. I wanted to say that there's very few cases that I've been interested in my life where I would give anything. Like, I would waste one genie wish to know exactly the truth of what has happened. This is definitely one of those cases.
Yeah.
Because I could definitely believe like three or four different versions here. Like,
oh, same. I mean, he's such a bizarre character. I could even believe that his the first wife's death was accidental somehow, and he's such an absurd person that he covered it up and
right.
never told. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could believe 100 different things just because he's such a bizarre person.
He's so bizarre. And I also feel like there is an element with him where I'm like, he is pretty unlucky. So I buy like a lot of weird coincidences not working out in his favor. Like,
yes.
I buy him sending the letter and not killing her. I'm not saying he's innocent. I don't have an opinion necessarily yet, but like, he definitely could have also murdered her. Like, that's very believable too.
I totally
believe
it.
But he does seem like the person who could send the letter. Do you know what I mean? Like, he seems like that could have happened because he's so weird and things just happen to him in weird ways.
It's like things happen to him in a weird Fargo-esque.
Yes. And he doesn't come off typically, like, he doesn't come off like a evil person, really. Like, not that that matters.
But he also doesn't come off as a good person.
No, it's like, it's like this weird, if he's committing all these murders, it is literally like, well, now I got to deal with this. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you called him a serial killer. Like, I don't think he has that mentality of like a serial killer where there's this like fervor you go into, like that cycle they go into where they
right.
need to do something. If he's doing all of this stuff, it's a matter of convenience for him, which is equally, I mean, that's evil too.
I just meant he's technically a serial killer because he's killed allegedly killed three people now.
Right, right. But I'm just kind of, I'm trying to clarify his frame of thought, which I don't think he's a killer. I think it's like a matter of convenience and to protect himself, like selfish reasons.
It's like, not like a
it's not like he loves
need.
Killing or, yeah, he doesn't get it. I don't think he gets a thrill out of it. It's like, fuck, I killed them. Now what do I do? Like, but I don't think he has any empathy for people.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
no.
So he is a weird, probably a sociopath in some way, like an unfeeling person.
Yeah.
That he can do this. Cause most of us, even if we accidentally killed someone, would be like freaking out. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
well, didn't he, after he killed his neighbor, didn't he like go get a hoagie or something? Or
yeah. He's just like, I don't even know what he is. Also, wasn't he dressed as like a woman?
He was posing as a woman while the entire time he lived in Galveston.
I mean, he's just a...
He's an oddball.
He's an oddball, to put it mildly.
Yeah. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with cross-dressing. It just... It wasn't
but he
like...
He wasn't doing it because that was his thing.
No.
He was doing it to escape the law. Like, that's just a... Like, why not be a different looking guy? Like,
right. It was just weird. Yeah, so that's a Robert Durst update. We will always keep you updated on Robert Durst.
I also would love to do like an episode focused on Susan Berman because her life is really interesting too,
yes,
with her dad being in the mob and stuff. Like, but yeah, we'll probably cover it in some way at some point.
Absolutely. Our next story involves someone I really like and someone I really don't like, and the person I really like is Larry David.
Oh,
and the person I don't like is Alan Dershowitz. This story came out yesterday. This is out of Page Six, but I saw this on Twitter.
Yeah.
Incredible story.
It's wild.
So for those of you who don't know Larry David, he created Seinfeld and he has a spectacular show on HBO called Curb Your Enthusiasm. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it.
It's one of the funniest shows. I don't even love comedy, and I love that show.
Me too. It's like I've seen every single season multiple times. It's one of my favorite
TV
shows.
It's laugh out loud funny.
It's so funny. So this is from Page Six. It says, it seems that Alan Dershowitz's ties to the Trump administration have made him persona non grata among the Martha's Vineyard elite, including Larry David. A Page Six spy spotted the Harvard law professor who was once, like David, a fully paid-up member of the Democratic Cool Kids, bumping into the comic on the porch of the island's picturesque convenience store and community hub, Chilmark General Store, and found their exchange so bizarre that they wrote it down to remember it. These are like quotes that this person who was in this general store wrote down.
Imagine having the foresight and a pen and paper.
I mean, imagine
putting notes up.
Imagine seeing this conversation take place with your very own eyes between Larry David and Alan Dershowitz. So it says, Dershowitz, we can still talk, Larry. David, no, we really can't. I saw you with your arm around Pompeo. It's disgusting. Dershowitz, he's my former student at Harvard Law. I greet all my former students that way. I can't greet my former students. David, it's disgusting. Your whole enclave, it's disgusting. You're disgusting. Added the stunned source, Larry walks away. Alan takes off his t-shirt to reveal another t-shirt underneath it that says, it's the Constitution, stupid.
Wait, he took off his t-shirt and reveals another t-shirt?
That's my favorite detail about this.
I didn't hear that part.
Oh my God.
What does he always wear two t-shirts?
That's the best part about this story is that as if it weren't insane enough to see this altercation between Larry David and Alan Dershowitz, but then after Larry David storms out of the general store, you see Alan Dershowitz take a t-shirt off and he's wearing a second t-shirt underneath.
What a reveal.
First of all, why two t-shirts?
I've never heard of someone wearing two t-shirts unless this stunt was planned.
It's so bizarre. It would be bizarre. Like if you see someone beginning to take their t-shirt off, you assume they have nothing underneath.
Oh, absolutely, especially in summer.
And then the fact that there's a reveal of it's a message t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible.
I saw a funny tweet where someone was like, if Saturday Night Live was airing right now, Larry David could play both the parts.
It's true.
Yeah. That's really funny. I would never want Larry David mad at me.
Never.
It would be the worst moment if he thought I was awful.
Yeah.
I would hate it.
Me too. I'd hate all of it.
I love that Alan Dershowitz is so upset about his life in Martha's Vineyard being ruined, because this has been an ongoing story for years now.
Yes.
Where he can't enjoy Martha's Vineyard anymore.
Right.
And it's like, there's something so funny about having, it's like, I don't really care. It's like all of you in Martha's Vineyard. Like, that's like the least sympathetic complaint I've ever heard. Like,
yeah,
but whatever.
So
that's funny. I like when Larry David's in the news.
Same. I love it. Or that there was that famous picture of him from a few years ago at the Lakers game where he looked like he was sitting courtside as he always does. Right. And he just was like, looked so fucking bored or something, or yeah, pissed off. Like, it just is, even though he's not, but it's just like his expressions are so funny.
I just really relate to his like vibe.
Yeah.
It's very comfortable to me.
So, and they are making a new season of Curb now, good. I believe. So I'm excited for that. Our next story is out of the UK. This is from Food and Wine magazine. It says, a British village is on the hunt for a vandal who pours beans on people's front doors.
Why would you do that?
Brits love their beans.
They do love beans.
And it's the Heinz beans.
Oh, the ones that go on toast.
Yeah, look, I'm famously skeptical about beans on toast, but I understand that it is a cultural norm.
I'm going to try it one day.
I will try it one day.
Someone showed me a picture of an English breakfast, and it was like, which one would you have to remove one? And first of all, an English breakfast is a lot of food. This plate had like 5 pounds of meat on it, eggs, beans, yeah, and toast. And everyone was like, duh, beans and toast. And I was like, you know what? I would get rid of the blood sausage easily. I'll keep the beans and toast. I'll try that. I'm not going to eat the blood sausage.
Yeah. I'm not really into blood.
I just don't want it.
Yeah, I don't want it.
I'm going to get rid of that easily.
You know what? Blood sausage, I'm sorry. Like a lot of English food, British food, seems like relics from the Middle Ages.
Please direct all your emails.
Hey, you can make fun of me. Most Jewish food is like very sad peasant food. Yeah. I get that. Okay. Yeah. All right.
It's like food from when there was, before there was refrigeration.
Now, before you send your emails of hate towards me, I will say that when the English created Yorkshire pudding, they fucking nailed it.
Yorkshire pudding's good. I also really like how they serve fish and chips in newspaper.
That's great.
I love that.
I love
detail.
That. I love fish
it's
and
so
chips.
Cute.
I like your use of potatoes and peas.
Ooh, I like shepherd's pie.
Yeah.
Too.
Even though potatoes are a new world ingredient, you guys did some fun stuff with it.
Yeah.
So look, it's not, British food is not all disgusting food.
No.
There's a lot of good British food.
I'm always interested in regional dishes, and beans and toast is for sure very popular. I will definitely try it because I do like both beans and toast.
Yeah.
Like it sounds like a very carby, depressing meal. Like when you're when you're depressed. I've eaten spaghetti on bread. Like I can see carb and carb working.
I just have some modifications for the full English breakfast. Not to mention that to me, full English breakfast sounds like a sex act.
A good one. The thing about me is, though, I don't really like a big breakfast. I'm not like a huge breakfast person.
But
so
what about,
never eat that much.
But what about night breakfast? Like,
I don't even like it at night.
So you're just not a breakfast person.
Like, I like certain foods,
right?
But I'm not going to have, I'm never going to order like eggs and meat and toast. I will never order that. But I will order it all on a sandwich, like an egg sandwich.
Well, you're a New Yorker.
That's right. And I do like some of the sweet breakfast foods.
Yeah.
For sure. But yeah, I'm not like, that's never going to sound good to me.
Right. No, I have like modifications I would want to make to the English breakfast. I'm sorry if that's like sacrilege, but I don't want those tomatoes.
Oh, the tomatoes are terrible.
Get the fucking tomatoes off the plate.
Can someone tell me if tomatoes are good in the UK? For some reason, I feel like, how could they be good?
I don't want tomatoes there.
Tomatoes? Is that how they say it in the UK? I don't. Do you say tomatoes? Because I feel like, is there enough sun? Tomatoes grow in really hot, summery.
I know.
Like they grow well where we live, which is like deserty almost.
Well, another new world food.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. This is just complete ignorance on our part. We realize all of this is just our dumb bitch way of thinking.
But we do love food, and Desi and I will try just about anything.
And I want to go to UK almost like over any other place. I've never been, and I really want to go.
Oh, me too. So I've never
been. And I'll
been.
Be eating everywhere, and I'll try everything.
Have you been to Europe?
No.
I've been once.
Yeah, so we have to go.
We have to go. And yeah. I've only been to Russia.
And I want to go to Italy.
I was looking at...
I already have food places to eat in like France and UK, London and like Italy.
Yeah.
Like I already have restaurants.
I was looking up our listener base like by country to see obviously we have like a lot of listeners in the UK and Australia, but I was like, how many listeners do we have in Italy to justify doing a live show in Italy? And I got to say, we could fill a small venue. If they all come. Please, if you
have to promise.
You have to promise to come to make it worth it.
Yeah. Like I think I said this about when we did the Green Roof Live. It's like, I don't want to show up and no one comes. That's my nightmare.
So, okay, let's continue with this bean story in the UK. Yeah. The police department in Waverley, a borough in southeast England, has an active Facebook page where it encourages residents to take its rural crime survey, and it details its current investigations. So this is like neighbors in the town who are like complaining about crimes, like sounds like minor crimes happening. It says there was a lot of complaints about baked bean related crimes. This is a quote from the Surrey Police. Local officers have received reports of incidents in Warnish, I'm sorry, where beans and other food has been poured onto residents' front doors and cars overnight. The victims are understandably distressed by this unacceptable behavior. The Facebook post also included an image of four empty cans of beans, presumably discarded by the perpetrator, and a photo of someone, unfortunate locals, bean-drenched driver's side door. I have a picture of the bean-drenched car.
I mean, it probably is frightening looking because you're like, you don't know that that's beans. Oh, the cans are there. It's helpful. I mean, sucks.
I mean, it would be an...
But I don't feel like there should be too much police.
It would be alarming if you walked out to your car in the middle of the night and an entire can of beans had been dumped on it.
I'd just be irritated as hell. I don't know that I'd be scared because I'd be like, well, this is clearly a prank.
It's kids.
Yeah.
It has to be kids, right?
No, I would be. I'm annoyed anytime I have to clean something that's not already on my regular rotation, like a new thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The police are, you know, officials will continue to patrol the area and will keep an eye out for anything suspicious. They're also encouraging residents to share their stories if their homes or vehicles have been recently beaned, or if they can provide any tips that would help them identify the bean dumper.
Well, find some kid who's buying a lot of beans.
It's for me, mom.
It's probably hard to find in UK because they're all buying beans.
Because everyone's buying those beans.
Yeah. They're kind of a cool can. I like it.
I would love
to have a bunch of those in my pantry just for show.
My mom does.
Does she?
Yes.
They look cool.
I think they're cool as hell looking.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. Our last story is about a hero cat. This is from CBS. This is another British story. It says, cats meowing helps rescuers find 83-year-old owner after she falls down a ravine. When an 83-year-old woman fell down a ravine in Cornwall, England, it was her cat who helped rescuers find her. The woman had been missing for over an hour, and concerned neighbors called emergency services, BBC News reports. Police went searching for her, but it was a member of the public who heard a meowing cat and located her. A passerby heard the cat, Purin, meowing loudly, which alerted them to the woman. Rescuers then saw the woman had fallen 70 feet into a stream with incredibly difficult access and uneven terrain. Rescuers lifted the woman up the ravine on a stretcher and flew her to a hospital in an air ambulance. Sorry. This is not, I'll tell you after. She's
okay.
This is just a dumb thought I had in my head.
Okay.
She is in stable condition. An eyewitness said the key to finding the woman was Purin's quite persistent meowing at the top of the ravine. It's a massive well done to all the emergency services who worked together and to Purin. An unnamed witness said the outcome could have been a lot worse. Now, do you want to see a picture of the cat?
Of course I do.
Very cute cat.
Aw. I like the thing is he's not really a hero. He just wanted food, probably.
Now he's a hero. He was worried about his owner.
I love black cats.
Yeah, it's a black cat, kind of a little fuzzy.
A little fluff, yeah.
I mean, he looks like...
Very cute.
He's a very good boy.
I love black cats.
Me too. I was just thinking about...
I know what you were thinking about.
What was I thinking about?
The person who was spinning. The minute you said that, that's what I thought about.
Okay. This was like 3 years ago. Some poor woman here in the States. I think it was like in California or something.
I think it was Arizona.
Okay. Yeah. It was in some desert landscape, but some poor woman like had to be rescued. She was a hiker and airlifted out. And the helicopter lowers down the little basket thing with the stretcher.
The bed, yeah.
Yeah. And they, you know, she gets in there and they're airlifting her out. And as they're airlifting her out, the basket stretcher thing starts spinning,
like,
and
it keeps really fast.
Well, it spins faster and faster and faster and faster, and it will not stop spinning the whole time. Look, it's crazy. It's more of a visual thing. You have to see it.
And then people put different songs to it.
Yes. Right. Because
it was so poor
because,
woman.
Look,
did we ever find out who she was, or did she just like never show her face?
I know.
Can you imagine? Honestly, if it was me, I'd be like, I get it. I get it. Like, it sucked when it was happening to me, but obviously I would also be laughing.
Like, I just remember watching that video and then like looking at the comments, and like everyone had put their own music in the background, and the one that made me start like crying physical tears was whoever put "You Spin Me Right Round."
Right, right,
because
right.
It was
I
just,
remember that.
It just was so perfect. Like, it just
the
was,
way they timed it too. It was painful.
It was so dumb, but it was so
It's
perfect.
The type of laughter when you see someone fall downstairs or something, and it's like, you're sort of like, are you okay? But it's like, you can't help. It's like this visceral thing that's just this awful,
yeah,
painful laugh.
Right.
I don't know what that is. But yeah, we should watch it again after. I haven't seen it in a while.
It's really good. Okay, we'll be right back.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Desi, are you watching, listening, reading anything good this week?
No. No. I'm just watching all shit.
Yeah.
I don't have like any focus on my viewing habits right now.
Yeah.
I'll just rant. I did finish White Lotus. We never talked about White Lotus, did we?
We talked about it a few weeks ago when I started watching
so
it.
So the finale of that was this week. I did watch that. Well, let's talk about the shits.
Wait, the shit?
The turds. Did you like the show?
I did like the show.
I like the show. It's like medium for me. It's not like I loved it.
Yeah, it wasn't like the most thrilling show, but I enjoyed watching it.
I enjoyed
every week.
Watching it. And yeah. That shit's killed me. The turds.
There's one character. Can't get through one show, does he? There's
one. Sorry. It's not my fault it's in the world.
There's one character in the show that in the series finale or the season finale, he takes a shit and we see the shit come out of his butt.
I've never seen that before in a movie or TV show.
It was vulgar.
They flew out. Because I didn't know what he was doing really. And first, I mean, I kind of...
You didn't know what he was going to do?
I mean, I was like, is he going to... I didn't think I was going to see shits come out, okay? I didn't think that... Maybe I knew he was going to shit in the box, but I thought we'd just see him squat over it and then the next frame would be shits there.
Right.
But we see his side profile squatting over a suitcase and these thin turds, I found them to be thin.
They weren't thin. I thought they were thick.
When they came out, they looked long and thin to me, ugh, which made them more revolting.
It was disgusting.
And they kind of were slow. He was squeezing at first and then they flew out a bit to me. And the second one was even faster. Look, I'm serious. I paid attention to this with great like focus. It's the most focused I've been all week, I think.
The noise.
Like, I can't.
The noise that I made when that happened, I really couldn't.
I screamed.
I screamed too.
I really did. I was like, ah! I probably scared my cats.
That's honestly similar to the sound I made. It went, ah!
Like, I couldn't believe my eyes with what, like, I'll see any, like, things that don't disgust me, that sent me, like, I was dead. Like,
the thing that made it, that pushed it over the edge was not seeing the shit itself, it was seeing it come out of the butt.
It was the coming out. Because it was like just the whole thought process, me thinking about him squeezing those turds out. Ugh. And the way they slid out, I can't even look up to see if this was CGI or not because I don't want to find out it was real. Like that's how scared I am.
Yeah.
I want to believe it's fake because if I find out that actor really shit, I could never look at him straight face again.
I'm pretty sure it was CGI.
But imagine your life's work is CGI. And then you have to use your skills, not for like a huge action sequence, but for that. Like, how do you even, did you draw it? I need to know. Okay, now that I said I don't want to know anything, now I want to know everything. Like, I want to picture them. Did they use a real turd image? Like, I want to know how you CGI turds flying out.
Right.
I just don't know enough about science. Like I'm always amazed. I'll see the most amazing action sequence and be like, that was fine. And right. Then this turd thing, I'm like, this is the most incredible scientific artistic achievement I've ever seen in my life.
I was thinking the same thing. I said, I have to know how they did that.
Yeah. I would watch literally an hour long documentary on the making of that moment.
Oh my God.
Cause it's so, I want to know everything.
And how many takes did it take the actor?
Or what was like, is it hard to pretend you're shitting and not kind of shit?
Right. Yeah, because he was clenching.
Because what if your shit came out at the same time as the CGI?
Cut. Cut.
Can you not shit? We're putting that in post. And then there's obviously we see the shits in the suitcase afterwards as well.
Right.
And it's like, what are those? Is that, did someone make those? Who makes the human shit? Do they make it? Does like the prop department?
Yes,
like,
the prop department or the whoever.
But do they shit? Or do they make mold it out of clay?
No, they don't use real shit.
But why not?
They use like, I don't know, like they use...
What's it made of? Like fucking modeling baby
clay?
Ruth?
No, like modeling clay. Okay. I think, you know what? I think someone has used a baby Ruth before.
But how do they make it look a little slimy? I guess they have a lot of tricks.
Gel?
Yeah.
Oil?
They like use some Mod Podge. No, I want to know. That's ugh, like, wow. Ugh. If I had to do that, I'd be sick.
Yeah. I don't think I watched anything that interesting. I started watching Without a Trace the other night.
Is that with Anthony LaPaglia?
Yes.
Okay. And I don't know. I have like the picture, the image of the poster in my head.
Yeah. So I started watching that. I think it's like CBS or something.
Yeah.
Look, it is. It's another, I'm like, I got really into procedurals, like watching, right. And like, I've always been into procedurals, but I've gotten really into the like other procedurals that aren't as popular,
the
maybe.
B-tier.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, So, but I think he like won a Golden Globe or an Emmy or something for that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's like a sort of movie star goes into TV. They'll usually win something.
Yeah.
If it's pretty good.
I mean, it's fine. I don't, it's not like Law and Order SVU early seasons, but whatever.
There's a lot of procedurals too.
Yeah. And you know, I've always wanted to like watch all of the original Law and Order, but you have to buy it.
Oh.
Like on, it's not, I can't find
it. What do you buy it on?
You know what? Maybe if I was a Peacock subscriber.
Oh, I'll check for you tonight.
Yeah.
If it's, if that's true, it would be worth getting a subscription for a few months to watch it all.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that all we have for today? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.